720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. today. And an exciting night in so many different ways when it comes to sports. Of course, you almost want to yawn when Michael Phelps is winning his, I guess he's going to go for like 6 gold medals. I don't think it's going to be today, but it was one of those things where they were trying to break down that he's doing a qualifying, he's a semifinal, then he's then doing the finals at this event and then that event, where it almost looked like he didn't have time to go on the podium and stand for the whole gold medal thing because he had to get to the other pool in order to compete for the next one. And I think it's on track. Some history-making stuff happening in swimming. We're going to talk about some of the things in the Olympics. And also, even when the history thing is happening, just because of either the sports landscape or just because there's so many other things to watch, and because the Rio Olympics has probably won the award for most dysfunctional in a lot of different ways, that there's a lot of people that just don't care that it went from this kind of must see, everybody in front of the television, the bragging rights of the world are at stake, to the kind of thing that we're flipping kind of back and forth and reruns of Property Brothers or something, and like, oh, here, rewind. This is interesting. Hey, someone just, made history with another record. So Olympics, your thoughts, 312-981-7200. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't know, and I know they're considered new and different sports on a regular basis, and yoga is athletic for sure. I don't know that it's competitive. There may be a competition. We'll hear about that. But coming up at 11:30, Soul Love Fest is going to be, I know what you're thinking, I didn't say anything about yoga, but it's not all about yoga, but yoga is front and center in the Soul Love Fest that is coming up very soon out in, I think it's either Aurora or Naperville, but 11:30, going to talk with some of the leading personalities in the world of yoga about what it means to them, why it's important, why for some people, I have done yoga for periods of time and all of the effects have been absolutely 100% positive. It's usually something that derails me, like a trip to a food fest or something, that I come back and I'm just like too far gone to get back, or the expiration of a gym membership or something, where it's I have never been committed to the point where I usually see it as a relief, like, whoa, wow, I don't go to that gym anymore. I guess I don't have to go to that class. But when I did do it for times where, even if it's just a few months, some really good health things happen. And I know spiritually and emotionally, and just kind of harnessing your chi in that sense, yoga is great for you. Craig, have you ever done anything like yoga?
I have done yoga with my wife when she makes me go to her classes, and I am not as good as anyone else in the room. So that is always rough. When they're doing the downward facing dog and all the different things, I am doing the like half version of all of that stuff.
I'm not even anywhere near where, as you said it hit my mind and it kind of bounced off the whole, I'm not any good. Being good has never been
your concern. That's good. No, they tell me not to worry every time I go, but I still do.
Yeah, it's more like just survive. Try to avoid pain and discomfort. you have your favorite instructors like, okay, good, it's her, she's easy,
right?
Or like where the one guy's just like, and now let's do more core, like, no please no. And then some of them, what's great about yoga, and of course we'll talk about it with real actual yoga professionals that do this is their passion, this is their life. I do love the whole ending, the savasana thing, where some peaceful music, and they kind of do take you through that roller coaster of life. So it's pretty cool. We're going to talk a little bit of yoga later on. And then it wouldn't be a Patty Vasquez show and Craig Collins wouldn't be involved with it if it wasn't fun, if there wasn't some cool things in there. The latest and cutting edge inventions. There is a ring that you can get that has your, I guess you wear the ring and you feel or experience or maybe see a blip or something, or you feel your significant others, whoever it is, for whatever reason they're significant, even if you have an insurance policy out of them, right? And you're hoping, hey, did my ring just stop? Oh no, here it goes, never mind. But you feel their heartbeat, right? And so you wear this ring and then you feel their heartbeat.
Yes, that is very correct. We're doing a very invention heavy show. We're also going to talk about the chork, which is the chopstick fork. At some point, very exciting, this new invention to hit the world.
I wonder if the spork folks are, there's
no.
An old guy saying like, hey, I thought of that a long time ago, spoon with
right,
like
this is
spikes.
Basically the same thing. It's, I think you can use the back end of the fork as chopsticks and then the front end is fork. So it's a chork.
It's a chore.
Very exciting.
That's awesome. You know, there's a person at home that's just, you know, the wife wants him to go do something meaningful with his life. He's like, baby, it's all riding on the chore. This is going to be big. I just got a call back from Shark Tank. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the inventions that are out there. And anytime you can bring monkeys into the radio equation, it is, I think, a cautionary tale. Because number one, monkeys typically in their public and media personas are fun loving, maybe, you know, kind of mischievous and whimsical. But in reality, they're incredibly strong and violent. And I've heard they smell like a lot. And I guess one was on a plane, and that's not good. So you have all that fun stuff. Dino Tiberi is going to be in a little bit later on in the program. Talk about an amazing Cubs victory that is hopefully a precursor to the final stepping on the neck of the Cardinals and getting that kind of whole situation out of the way so we can focus on not blowing the playoffs. So we'll be talking with him a little bit as well further on in the program. And then when we come back from this break, Jason Goldsmith, he's the GM over at Eataly. Eataly is the 60,000 square foot. It's like a Taj Mahal for the taste buds. And you've got everything from restaurants. You've got some of the greatest products. You've got incredible demos, classrooms, cookbooks, products from, and you think Eataly, right? It is a lot of Italian cooking and themes and just the whole feel that is there and some of the greatest products that come out of that region, but also so many great local ones, and they incorporate a lot of local food and producers and artisans as well. Jason Goldsmith is going to talk about something that's Eataly, you think international everywhere else, but pizza close to home, and they've got an all-you-can-eat pizza fest coming up as well as some of their other events. So we're going to talk with him in just a few minutes about that. Plus your thoughts, 312-981-7200. It's a lot to take in. Take a break, take a deep breath, and it's staying in for Patty on 720 WGN. Oh, wait, I was just enjoying the bumper. That's so great. The great music, Craig Collins in the booth, 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in for Patty until 2 a.m. talking about a lot of different things. Certainly, we're going to talk some food throughout the course of the program. We're going to talk some yoga, some sports, some Olympics. You can add in with your favorite Olympic moments of all time. And that's going to be 312-981-7200. You can text them in. You can call them in as new ones are being made right now. And I think we may have like a prize to Eataly to give away for the winner. Everybody who enters will be considered, and we'll pull one winner before the end of the program. The guy with his hand on the pulse of all things happening over there, including the all-you-can-eat pizza sensation that is going on this weekend, is on the line. It is the one and only Jason Goldsmith. Jason, welcome to WGN.
Namaste, Dean.
Namaste. Hey, that's like a, you know what? That's a yoga term. I know that.
I was at yoga this morning, man. I got to be ready for this for all-you-can-pizza. I mean, I got to stretch. I got to be ready. Now, I went this morning, so I'm in shape for tomorrow.
Now, were you just like Craig and I, were you just coerced, maybe not the most willing participants, by significant others wearing, or not wearing, a heart ring that brought you into to the yoga session? Or are you kind of a self-motivated yoga fan?
I am a long-time lover. Yeah, I think it's what keeps me sane in this ever-evolving, ever-demanding hospitality world.
Well, I think everything in moderation, Jason, except for yoga, right? You can do that as many times as you want, but always so many cool things happening at Eataly. But pizza, I mean, come on, you know, Chicagoland, America has a love affair with the pizza, and Eataly is delivering.
Dane, you and I are Chicagoans. I was raised here in Chicago. My parents are from Chicago. I'm raised on the deep dish. I love pizza. And now I run Eataly, which is an Italian-owned business. And so this is one of those days where we're not talking about Chicago pizza or New York pizza or Los Angeles pizza or wherever. We're serving Italian pizza. And pizza, remarkably, is having somewhat of a rebirth in Italy these days. There are the traditional styles that are, you know, Italians are best known for, like the Neapolitan pizzas. But there's all these other different people who are doing different styles. And pizza is sort of having a moment. And so being an Italian company, you know, we check out what's going on in Italy, and we decided that we really want to delve deep into all the different varieties of pizza that are happening today in Italy. And so that's what we have with this festival going on tomorrow and Saturday. And I think, you know, you heard some of the details, but basically for $35 a person, you are going to get to dive deep into several different styles of traditional, authentic, handmade Italian pizza.
when so, I got a chance to try out a couple of these different ones over the course of time. And for those people that think, hey, it's pizza, and it's like you mentioned, you know, in Italy, maybe it was like, hey, we know pizza, we don't need to get involved with it. It's now, or maybe not so much, right? Having a rebirth now, for those people here that think they know pizza just because you are here, the stuff that they have, that Jason has, that they're making over at Eataly, the different styles and varieties he's going to talk about right now, are absolutely like nothing that you've ever had or enjoyed. The ingredients are so fresh. The doughs are so interesting, right, in texture and taste. I mean, it is something you can't miss.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've put a lot of time into sourcing the different various flours. For example, our pizza alla palla, which some people call pizza romana. We use a flour that's made by a very small mill in northern Italy, in Piemonte, called Mulino Marino. We hand mix the batches every day. The dough is always fresh. Cook it in this beautiful oven that just arrived from Italy a few months ago. Yep. And palla literally means a peel, like a wooden peel. So it's the peel that we use to put it to take it in out of the oven, and then it gets served right on that peel. It's sort of somewhere between a focaccia and I guess some people, you know, have said they reminds them of Roman style pizza. So it's sort of a thick base, but it's super airy. It's really crisp and light, and then we put all these different toppings on it. So one of the kinds we're going to offer is this brand new pizza alla palla, which we added to our piazza in the middle of the store, and it's just been great. It's been really one of the most popular areas of Italy since we added that new oven and the pizza alla palla concept. So we're thrilled that that's going so well. Of course, the pizza that people think of when they talk about Italy is the Neapolitan style. And we work with an incredible company called Rosso Pomodoro, which literally means red tomato. And Rosso Pomodoro is based in the city of Naples. They are Neapolitans. This is what they do. They make pizza, and they do it better than anyone else. And so we're thrilled to have them all the time in Italy making a Neapolitan pizza. The way they make their dough is incredibly time-consuming. They use a double levitation method. It actually has very little yeast in it compared to a lot of, you know, pre-made pizza doughs or other places that can make really a heavy dough. And it's just incredibly light and soft. And these, of course, get cooked in the wood-fired oven. They cook in 90 seconds, and the flavors are just bright and beautiful and fresh. And, you know, the amazing thing is that it's just so light that it's really easy to eat a lot of it. So hopefully some folks will experience that in the next couple of days. So we're going to be doing pizza alla palla, Neapolitan pizza, which is totally different. And then every day at our bakery, we make traditional focaccia. Focaccia is kind of really one of the most traditional street foods of Italy, that it's that thing when, you know, when you need a snack, you want something that you can maybe have on the go. We make a whole bunch of different flavors of focaccia, which is sort of a very soft, fresh. Some people might not even refer to it as pizza, but in Italy, it's a different style of pizza. Sort of fresh, soft doughs that are really easy to just pick up a piece, and that's kind of my go-to snack during a busy day at work. So we'll have focaccia, various types of focaccia out there as well. And then, curveball, our Neapolitan buddies at Rosso Pomodoro are doing panzerotti.
Why is that a curveball? I mean, because you always think of it, it's kind of like a pizza in a pocket kind of thing.
Yes, and it's incredible. And there's an incredible tradition of panzerotti in Italy. I was fortunate to be in Milan a few weeks ago, and literally one of my first stops was this incredible little panzerotti stand that's not too far from the center of town, the Duomo. And, you know, the beautiful things about panzerotti is that it's like the food that everybody loves, kind of like pizza. And, you know, you go and everyone likes it. You get stand next to a businessman in his three-piece suit and tie, and he's eating a panzerotti, and there's kids eating them. And that's kind of what we're going for this weekend at this all-you-can-pizza event. We wanted to make the price super accessible. We're doing it at a variety of times, so starting on Friday and Saturday at 5 p.m., 6 p.m., 7 p.m., and 8 p.m. We decided we'd sort of stagger it out so people aren't hitting it all the same, you know, so and we'll be able to keep up with the crowds. So at each of those times, Friday and Saturday, for $35 a person, you'll be able to taste all these different styles of pizza alla palla, Neapolitan, focaccia, and panzerotti. Obviously, no Italian meal would be complete without a beverage. So we've got some selections from our wine department. Italy has 20 different regions. They make wine in every single region. We have all of them represented on our shelves. So we'll be doing Italian wine, beers, Negroni Granita. Spritzes are really great, depending on what time you're joining us. We have an incredible brewery. I think you met our brewer, Eric, a few months back. So he's got some things ready for the next couple of days. So it should be a pretty amazing party. So we're throwing in one drink for those folks that get
thirsty. Yeah, they want to wash down some of the all that they can eat pizza. It's an amazing event. Italy never disappoints when it comes to that. $35 per person includes all you can eat of all those different styles of pizza and treat that Jason was talking about, including one of those beverages as well. And you can always get more tickets for more. And you've got a bunch of different start times. 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 p.m. are the start times for tomorrow and Saturday. And the website for people to get more information, get their tickets, and get out there and see you.
Yeah, absolutely. Is Eataly, EATALY.com. As of today, we have 3 stores in the U.S. So be sure to click on the Chicago store, and you'll see a link there for our events. We have, as you mentioned in the intro, thank you very much. All sorts of events happening all the time. Especially in our cooking school, we do flash demos, all different price ranges. And so this is one of the incredible events that we've planned for this weekend.
It is going to be awesome, and we're going to try to get maybe one listener can get 2 passes to one of the sessions. If that works out, we'll have them text in something 312-981-7200. One of the quiz questions, and hopefully a lot of listeners for WGN and just fans of great food get out and see you at Eataly this weekend. Jason, thanks so much for all you're doing, and thanks for being on the show tonight.
Dane, we love you guys. We're neighbors. We're blocks away. So hopefully I'll see you at eating pizza sometime soon at Eataly.
You will. If your eyes are open, you will. And then I'll be doing yoga right after. Thanks, Jason.
Okay. Great to talk to you. Thanks.
All right. It is Dane in for Patty. Going to take a quick break on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue. A beautiful night in Chicago. A little warm. Maybe a little warm. Maybe hot yoga, right? It would be
hot and humid.
A good time for it. I thought Craig was going to play a nice bumper, like something soothing, some kind of yoga style music, maybe, the kind of Zen music that you'd have, not necessarily rock and roll. There's probably a rock and roll yoga out there.
There's yoga with everything.
There's yoga, right. So I mean, I think it fits in a lot of different ways, and I think it fits in a lot of different lifestyles and soul love fest that's coming up on September 17th and 18th out in Oswego. Oh, nice.
That's it.
All right, now let's do this. Warrior One, everybody. See, right? As I mentioned in the open, I have done yoga for periods of time, always in 100% with amazing positive benefits. You always leave saying, I should do more of that. It's always been great for, you lose weight, you get stronger, you feel better. And even though it's one of those things on the athletic side that on the surface, you don't feel like you're doing a lot, right? You're not bench pressing or running or anything like that. But in the end, you leave kind of spent and you leave kind of like ready for more. And it's just, it's really great. So I've got a huge respect for yoga, even though visually you can see that I don't do enough of it. But on the line, so of course, we got Adam Polhemus. He is a yoga instructor here in the city of Chicago, going to be one of the presenters there at Soul Love Fest. And on the line with us to give us kind of the overview of the event is the person who is the founder, the creator. She is the co-founder and chief dreamer at Soul Love Fest. So this event would not be happening at all without this person, who has been a leader and an ambassador in so many different ways, in so many different forms, whether it's in the branding side, whether it's on the food side and the culinary side. Darcy Purcell is online. Darcy, welcome to WGN. Hey, Darcy.
Thank you.
You there?
Yeah.
So, Darcy, this is exciting stuff. When Susan told me that you guys were doing this and this event was happening and the beautiful setting that's going to be that it's going to be in out at Aramore, I was excited. But you think 2 days for yoga, but you know what you're doing.
Well, it's more than just yoga. That's sort of what's going on is there are about 50 plus instructors, and we have over 80 classes. that sort of run the gamut across all sorts of fields that what we say are all sorts of avenues that nourish your soul. So yoga is a very wide avenue, big road that goes, you know, straight to nourishing your soul. But there's all sorts of other opportunities, whether it be learning how to fuel your body properly. So there'll be lots of nutrition classes and wellness classes. We'll have meditation classes. And a lot of people think meditation can only be done one way. And there are so many different ways to meditate. So we're going to have a multitude of meditation classes, personal growth, spiritual growth classes. If you're like at a transition point in your life, you don't know who you want to be when you grow up. There's going to be something pretty much for everybody. And so that's kind of what we built on a 380-acre farm.
Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of awesome.
It is. So 50 different instructors in all those different classes. And this is what I thought we would bring to this, because you're going to have people, those instructors have their following. People who are into a lot of those different elements of lifestyle are going to be like, hey, this is an event for me. I know I'm going to be there. But I know hearing it that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, these kind of things, these options and opportunities are kind of a mystery, right? Where they might not know, you know, what this can do for them and what it can mean. So, so for you personally, like, how did you come to this point where not only, you know, you love and appreciate it, but you wanted to build something that could help so many people?
Well, Susan and I always had it in our head that we wanted to do something in this world. We weren't sure what the something was, but when we started taking a look at all these events and festivals that were out there, they're kind of singularly focused. Like, you're going to go to a yoga fest, you're going to go to a health and wellness, you're going to go to a spiritual fest. Like, you're going to go to things that are like singularly focused. And I don't feel that I am that good at any one thing and that I should be going to any of those festivals. So we thought, let's just flip the script and let's come up with something where you can try things out. And you know, using a culinary term, we like to say soul love is an amuse-bouche for the soul. So you can just try lovely little tastes of different things. And so if you've, you know, you could take an Aikido class with our real life ninja. You can learn more about feng shui. You can take Stephanie's, who is executive and life coach on the Today Show. You can take her class, you know, four steps on different levels. And if you're a yogi, we want you to come. We want you to do yoga. Absolutely. But we also want you to get off the mat and try some other things, because that's kind of what this is all about. It's a really, really approachable way to kind of spread your wings a little bit and try different things out. And you may not like everything, and that's okay too, because it's just as important in life to say, I tried that and I didn't like it, versus like sitting on the sideline going, I don't think I would like that, so I'm not going to do it at all. So we just have some really, really awesome folks like Adam who are going to be there and bringing some super interesting classes and perspective to this area. And that's what I have to say. this hour.
This is nothing. It is going to be great. And you mentioned so many different things going on and so many different events and covering a lot of different disciplines, but all kind of in that whole kind of at one with yourself, harness your chi kind of thing. So you're going to leave, I think, a refreshed and certainly an educated person as well. And you mentioned Adam. We've got Adam Palhamis, a yogi, yoga teacher, and he is in. And there is going to be a variety of different things out there. So even if you think you know yoga, you're going to find new and exciting things that you're not aware of. And so, Adam, you're going to be showcasing a style of yoga that people aren't all that familiar with.
Jiva Mukti Yoga. It's relatively new to the Midwest. It's been here before, but I like to think that I'm putting a new spin on it here. It's out in the East Coast. It's practiced primarily in New York, but I'm very, very happy to be bringing it to Chicago. And the Soul Love Fest, I think it's going to be a big hit. It's a physical, ethical, and spiritual practice, and we combine a vigorous asana practice with five core tenets. So it's not just movements. We try to bring in other values and core qualities that you could take off the mat, like Darcy was saying a little earlier. So like nonviolence, some devotion. We're big into music. We like to pull from the classic text so you know where this is coming from. And we also focus on meditation. So it's a full practice. Like you were saying, when you leave filled with something. Joy, love, compassion, it's there.
SoulLoveFest.com is the website for it. And Darcy and the team over there have been generous enough that we're going to be able to give a couple Village Pass tickets for some listeners tonight. And we may have some other ways. We're going to highlight this a couple times over the course of the time period before the 17th and the 18th of September. And Darcy, before we go to break and let you get back to bed and what you're doing, always big in and around the food space. Oh, it's over a couple of days, and we've talked about a lot of the experience in the seminars, but what are people going to be enjoying on the food side there?
Well, that's Susan's job. We're working on some pretty amazing food trucks right now. And Christy Cavani, who's a local sort of celeb in the food world out here, is going to be doing some really amazing sort of gluten-free and vegan food. And Peter Ruby, which is another amazing produce shop out here, is going to be doing a nice spread. They do the absolute best guacamole I've ever had.
Wow.
In my entire life.
Speaking my language now.
And that, for those people out there, if Darcy says that, that is saying something.
Yeah.
So she knows her guacamole. Plus, I have heard, too, that they're going to be, and this is one of the biggest crazes out there, is Susan had mentioned that there's going to be, you know, you think of you know, craft cocktails or mixology, there's going to be some smoothie experts out there kind of giving you some of those great ways to be able to blend up and enjoy and juice and, you know, and empower yourself on that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to be talking about vegan lifestyle, and we're also going to have Marla Saris of Paleo Porn out talking about paleo lifestyle. So lots of things on the food front as well.
It's going to be great. A little something for everybody and something that everybody should be able to know, enjoy, take in, and appreciate. SoulLoveFest.com is the website for it. And again, we're going to have a Village Pass for two that we're going to be giving away a little bit later on in the program. And we're going to have Megan Riley's going to come on after the break, and we're going to let Darcy get back to planning and building this amazing event. And Darcy, thanks so much for being on the
Bye,
show
Darcy.
Tonight.
Thank you. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Dane.
All right, thanks. And Adam, you're going to be with us in the next segment. We're going to take a quick break. It's Dane in for Patty here on 720 WGN. And back down. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in for Patty until 2 a.m. It's so much, you know, fun, laughter, music, comedy on a Patty Vasquez show. Now, I don't know if there's been a lot of yoga. I know that, so that's what we're doing. But we found from the founder and visionary force behind Soul Love Fest that it is so much more than just yoga. Yoga is going to be kind of front and center as one of the central elements, but a lot of, you know, even the feng shui, you know, even just kind of emotional counseling on how to do this or be at your best. And of course the food side, there's going to be a lot of that as well. We've got Adam Polymus. He is a yoga instructor in studio with us, and he will be out there doing one of the presentations, one of the classes at Soul Love Fest, September 17th and 18th out at Arrimore in Oswego. And then on the line, she will be there as well, is Megan Riley. Megan, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome, Megan.
Thank you.
So, Megan, I mean, you it's a busy life, right? You got a lot of stuff to do. Yoga is it's very hot. It's very popular. You guys have a ton of things to do. So I appreciate, Adam, and I appreciate you taking time to kind of chime in here and get involved. And part of the kind of theme that I got when reaching out, even on what was kind of short notice, is that, you know, people were excited to support the event. They wanted to not only talk about what it is they're doing, because I think really that's what you guys do, is you guys are passionate about helping people. You know, it's, you're leading classes, you're teaching people, you're instructing, you're motivating, you're inspiring. It's, you know, you're not doing this in a room by yourself. So Megan, what are you going to be doing out there at Soul Love Fest?
Well, I'm teaching a group yoga class. So I am teaching an asana class, and I'm excited to bring a little bit of a higher level class to the Soul Love community so that we can challenge ourselves a little bit more than maybe perhaps we even do in our public classes in our weekly regular schedule. I'm teaching a class uniquely themed, I think, which is called the Panchamahabhutas. And the Panchamahabhutas is a Sanskrit terminology referring to the five great elements. So I'm going to teach students what they normally move and breathe through their regular postures and breath, but I'm going to teach them to also apply the various attributes of the elements, so earth and water and fire and air and space, into their practice. So I identified with this type of practice very early on in my yoga journey because it was just something tangible for me to sort of apply to my body, since this is what I'm made of, this is what everything's made of. It was sort of a way for me to go a little bit deeper into practice once I had come through the awkward stages of being a beginner yogi. So I'm going to bring students through various postures, breaths, mantras, and even meditation and stillness, of course, to connect to the elements in our practice.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought it up. In the last segment, you know, Adam had talked a little bit about bringing a new style of yoga that had not really been done here in Chicago and being able to kind of share that with people. And you mentioned what you're going to be doing at Soul Love Fest is doing an advanced class, right, for people that really want to see what they can do, aspire to within the discipline. They can do that. So, but for people who are hearing this now and knowing that everybody started, and I mentioned my own kind of yoga stories where I've done yoga in little bits of, you know, a few months here, a few months there, always with a real positive outcome, but never enough to just completely get me stuck in it yet, unfortunately. But, you know, we all started somewhere. But so for those beginners out there, like, what is the first thing that someone needs to do when they start considering kind of making yoga a part of their life?
Wow. Well, number one, they need to be willing to just accept themselves as they are and where they are. We have sort of a fun phrase in the yoga community that says, if you can breathe, you can do yoga. So, yes, and any good teacher, any skilled teacher will be able to adapt most of their class to meet the needs of students at various levels. And so while there's a whole world of sort of a menu, if you will, even of levels and styles to choose from, it is very, very important to understand that it's a journey. It's something that doesn't happen overnight. And when you begin, you have to be very patient with yourself, very accepting of yourself, and know that really just stepping to the mat and working on the breath is a practice in itself that will evolve with time and with patience. So my public classes that I teach on a weekly basis are all level, and I do make it very adaptable and very attainable and reachable for almost all the students that walk in. But we thought at Soul Love it would be a great opportunity to create a space for people who have a little bit of a more advanced practice as well. And really, we're very cautious not to define the levels of yoga too much, because it is a journey. And everyone in a practice, whether it's a beginning class full of beginning students or a more intermediate or advanced class full of that type of student, there's still so many variations, so many layers, so many components, so many injuries, whether they're emotional or physical or even mental injuries that we bring to the mat, or our strengths and our weaknesses are very different. So we try to target and apply all of those into a single practice.
It's very interesting and important, I think, in that you say, if you can breathe, you can do yoga. It's one of those things, kind of like golf or chess or something, right? That kids can do, but that you can enjoy throughout a lifetime, and then you can get very good at it and be really great at it and still enjoy it, but you can still enjoy it and benefit from it no matter what your personal situation is. And the reason I bring that up is my brother-in-law had kidney failure. It's about maybe 2 years ago, where he just, and he didn't wake up one day and realize he had felt bad for a while, went to the doctor, and they told him that it's 80% failure, you know, his kidney, he needed a kidney transplant, he's going to die. So he got on dialysis, and he was overweight, he could barely get around, you know, and based on everything that was going on with that, it was almost impossible for him to get into. And for anybody who knows anything about the transplant side, is you have to actually be in pretty decent condition to go through the operation. You can't just be, I need it. You know, you need to, like, it's not an easy kind of a gauntlet of things that you need to do. And one is you have to get really healthy, which is really hard when you're dying. Mm-hmm. And he was, and so he went to, he followed me as I was a kind of a hostile witness to one of the yoga classes. He followed me because, and he went there and just did it because it was, hey, it was something to do. It was hard for him, very hard, but he got through it. He did yoga every day. And in the end, in the last few months, he did it like twice a day sessions. He lost 80 pounds.
Wow.
And broke all sorts of kind of internal hospital records on like how fast you're supposed to be able to do this, and got his transplant, and is, you know, and this was a few months, he got it in May, and it was all because of yoga. He will be the first to credit it, it was because of yoga that he was able to do something, because he knew he had to get into shape, but losing weight is one thing. And exercising, but when you can barely move, it's almost impossible. And so he got to the point where he was doing it, and then he's like doing great in spin classes. So he went from being barely able to breathe to actually being in really great shape.
Did he ever mention how he felt after taking those classes to you?
Well, here's the thing, is he had a goal, and he knew that this was going to hopefully lead to his survival. So I think that was like initially his thought process. Mm-hmm. But yeah, oh, absolutely. And I'm glad, Adam, that you mentioned that, because it's kind of a greater than the sum of the parts situation, right? Mm-hmm. You can see, okay, I'm moving. That means I'm not eating, and I'm doing this for an hour, and I'm stretching and becoming more flexible. But in the end, there's so many other benefits that happen because of it.
You start to feel more comfortable in your own skin, and you're able to make better decisions from this point. I'm sure he was feeling that. It only takes one class, and you're like, wow, okay, something happened. I might not be able to define it yet, but I got to come back. I got to do it again.
Well, I'm going to ask you this now, and I'm going to ask you the same question, Megan, in just a minute before we go to the break. Is, okay, so Soul Love Fest, you're going to be there. You're going to be one of the presenters sharing what it is that you do at a high level with the attendees there. But what's great about it is this is 2 days. This is 50 different instructors, all sorts of different disciplines. Are there things, Adam, are there people you're looking forward to learn from there or meet or hang out? Are there things you're going to be excited to do?
Absolutely. Number one, I'm looking forward to seeing MC Yogi. I am a big fan. He's a great guy. Back in New York, he was always practicing yoga. You could find him around any of the studios, especially Jivamukti. So I'm a big fan of him. Actually, right after teaching, I'll be going to get ready, going right to the stage, because he comes on right after me. Mine ends at 5 and he starts up at 6, so you'll find me out there, maybe on the dance floor, making out some yoga moves.
MC Yogi. All right, Megan. Now, for you, too, you're going to be teaching an advanced class. You're going to have some students there that are probably really, disciplined yoga personalities themselves. Mm-hmm. But are there other people that you're excited to hang out with during Soul Love Fest?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? It's pretty exciting because we have a lot of local teachers that are coming out to the festival and offering their expertise and their talents as well. And to be honest with you, I don't get to always practice with my local community, and it's such a tight, open, and really solidified community here that I'm really looking forward to getting on the mat with some of my friends. So I'm representing my local home studio, Shine, which is in Batavia, Illinois, and I have a couple other teachers from Shine that are offering at the festival, and I really plan to just kind of bounce around and find people I haven't practiced with before, too. You know, I'm not familiar with everyone on the schedule, and I think that's the beauty of a festival, is you can explore your curiosities, try things you haven't tried before or that you wouldn't otherwise.
SoulLoveFest.com is the website where you can see the schedule, who's going to be there. MC Yogi is going to be there, plus all of the great instructors and all of the different classes and seminars are going to be offered. And before we let you go, Megan, do you have like social media if people want to catch up with you, get in contact with you, or follow all your adventures?
Absolutely. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, but you can find me at MeganRiley.com as well.
Great tune. 720 WGN, Daniel in for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. And we are going to be talking an eclectic blend of topics that are going to take you all the way from the spirit nurturing world of yoga. We had the taste bud nurturing world of pizza a little bit earlier. We're going to talk about the Cubs ascending, right, and bringing us all with them to hopefully the promised land at some point. At least they beat the Cardinals today, so that was good in exciting style.
Walk off walk.
It was a walk-off
a
walk?
A walk-off walk by Rizzo with the bases loaded, won the ballgame.
Yeah, you know, Dino Taveri in studio with us as well. And the Cubs have won some interesting games in some interesting ways, where they have a walk-off wild pitch.
Sure. Walk-off walk. Hey, it's a win is a win is a win.
Variety is the spice of life. You're going to want to get out there. You're going to want to do as many things as you can and experience victory, even a personal victory, in whatever way you can. Out at Soul Love Fest, that's going to be happening September 17th and 18th out at Arrimore Farm in Oswego. People are going to be able to do that. And one of the, and we heard some of those guests a little bit ago. Dino, can you uncrack your phone here? whatever. You know, do the code. Do the code. So she is going to be out there. Our next guest, Maureen Muldoon, is going to be out there kind of sharing her brand of inspiration. She is a spiritual vixen, and you can be too. And she's offering coaching, like I said, inspiration, instruction, consultation, and she's on the line with us as well right now. Maureen, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is when Susan Marzano first sent me the thing saying, okay, this is one of the people that's going to be participating. But, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one day, that's one moment in time. But throughout mm-hmm. the course of, you know, today, tomorrow, and the rest of our lives, there's so many great life lessons that you're in the business of sharing and helping people with.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, and a lot of people need a lot of help these days. And so, because it basically comes down to, peace of mind. Like, if you have your peace of mind, you can navigate anything. And a lot of the current events are causing a lot of people to feel uncomfortable. But if you've had a practice like yoga or meditation, it can help you to navigate these situations without losing your mind or your sense of humor. And so, so my brand of spirituality comes with a lot of laughter and storytelling. And all of us own that, you know, all of us own our stories. All of us have great wisdom in our stories. And I think that currently that we're getting to see that we can help each other. Like, we don't have to go to a special guru or a pope or a rabbi or, a middleman. Like, we can actually be ministers to each other. And we do that with our stories. And I was raised a Catholic, and I dabbled in a lot of different philosophies, but the most holy experiences I've ever had were with my dad when he told me stories about things that he overcame. And so that's the kind of things that I share in my church, in my spiritual center, and in my story events.
Well, it's neat to have the opportunity to be able to share, and like you said, stories and experiences mm-hmm. that can help people either navigate things that they may run into or maybe get past some things that they're kind of mired in. And confidence, I think, is one of the main themes of a lot of the stuff that you do. And you can get that whether you're getting more healthful confidence or kind of at one with yourself on the yoga side or just being a more confident and assertive person. So how do you help people to kind of do that if they're stuck in a rut like that?
Well, one way to gain your confidence back is to do self-esteeming acts for other people, actually. When I see people helping other people, they take on a glow about themselves. And it's, it's a ridiculously simple cure-all, but it actually works, When you get teenagers out doing things and helping other people, like, their confidence and their abilities grow. And when you get people interacting with each other, their confidence grows. I'm known for pushing people off cliffs before they're ready, but one way that I do that is getting people up on stage to tell their story. So I run an event at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn where we do storytelling, and at the very end, I'll say to the audience, now you've heard our stories, now you can get up on stage and tell a five-sentence story. And most people are like, I could never do that. But like, after they come for a little while and they see each other getting up on stage and you witness someone else being scared but doing it anyhow and being brave, you start to think, maybe I can. And then you do, and you build your confidence that way.
Well, right there in Berwyn is right here. Of course, Fitzgerald's is a place that is known for, is one of kind of the legendary local music mm-hmm. clubs and establishments. So that's great for you to get out and do that. And so for people who want to get kind of your brand of inspiration and motivation, because that's kind of what you do. I know that you've got MaureenMuldoon.com. So you've got your own website and you do some of these live events. So how else can people get involved and get to see you outside of just seeing you at Soul Love Fest?
Well, we do it every second Tuesday. We're at Fitzgerald. Every third Wednesdays, we're out in Evenflow in Geneva, doing the same thing. It's called Voice Box, and we weave together music and stories. And Kathy Richardson from Jefferson Starship is the musical guest every week, and she helps to hold the whole show together. So it's awesome to experience. And when people go to an event like that, they do feel like they've been to church, like they have that experience of unity, and you hear somebody else confessing their stories and they go, oh my gosh, so you know, I'm not so weird. And then the other thing that I do is I hold a spiritual circle in Hinsdale called Speakeasy Spiritual Community, where we honor all paths to God and everyone's welcomed no matter who you love or where you've been. And it's a conversation, so I'll kick it off with a topic on, you know, honesty or tolerance, and then we begin to talk about it and how we struggle with it or how we master it. And you know, I like to say that there is a teacher in every seat, you know, and so it's important for everyone to use their voice. And so that's out in Hinsdale every Sunday at 10.
Well, you've talked about some of the things that you share, some of the manner in which you share it, and certainly the places mm-hmm. that people can find you to share it. For those people listening that may be in, and sometimes the, you know, what is it? That first like step is knowing that you have an issue or that you need or could benefit from help. So who are the people typically that when you get them in front of you, that you know, what place in life are they? You know, what kind of challenges are they going through, or what kind of situations do they find themselves in when you can get them mm-hmm. and you can actually give them, you know, some of the help that they need? So if they're out there listening right now, they're hearing this and they're saying, hey, that's me.
Yeah, I actually help a lot of different people in a lot of different areas. A lot of people with addiction issues or families with addiction issues, but also there's a large population of people who have everything they could possibly imagine, and they're still not happy. Like, their closets are filled with designer clothes, they got the two cars, they got the 2.1 kids, and they're still not connected because they just haven't figured out how to connect with a divine connection with God. And so those are the people that I help, and I bring them to the possibility of having their own holy communion with the God of their understanding through laughter, you know, and through the possibility of a God that's not against you, or a spirituality that's not hard, and you don't have to jump through a lot of hoops for, you know, an easy one. And that's why I call it speakeasy, because it can be easy. It doesn't have to be this complicated, you know, thing that you have to earn. Like, it's actually available to everyone. So that's, and I do have processes and classes and things that help to move them through. One of them teaching a class called The Artist Way. And I find that a lot of people can access their spirituality through creativity. And so I teach this class called The Artist Way that's been around for the last 20 years. And it's a 12-week program. And it's a really great way to get back into, you know, finding out who you are, you know, finding a practice that works for you, whether it's yoga or meditation, or I teach A Course in Miracles every day. So that there's a lot of different wells to drink from. It's just important that you find one that works for you.
Well, you mentioned laughter, whether it's the best medicine, or oftentimes people who've been together or are happy, you know, for a long period of time say that they laugh together. That's one of the things that is really important. So I think it's important stuff, and people are going to see you out at Soul Love Fest on the 17th mm-hmm. 18th of September, but they can get a hold of you whenever it is that they want to, and find a place to get with you and get some of that messaging firsthand. So Maureen, before we let you go, the website of course is maureenmuldoon.com, but if you've got some social media, if you're on Twitter or Facebook, you can share that as well.
Well, you can check it out also at voiceboxstories.com and speakeasyspiritualcommunity.com. But I would love to see everybody out at SoulFest, because it's going to be a great event for our community.
Yeah. Oh, it is going to be great. We've heard a lot about it, and it sounds like the kind of thing that I may actually get out to. My soul needs some fest, I think that. but Maureen, thanks so much for what you're doing, because you are another one of the people in a long line that we've had on tonight that are just in the business of helping people be their best. And I think we need we need as much of that as we can in the Chicagoland area and all over. So thanks, Maureen.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for being on WGN tonight.
Thank you. God bless. Bye.
All right. That was Maureen Muldoon. She's a spiritual vixen. I didn't hear so much of the vixen side of things, but I think.
I heard the spiritual part. Yeah, right. The vixen part, not so much, but. So she sounds like someone that, you know, is really, you know, people can really take advantage of what, you know, the things that, the different parts of things that she can bring to the table. And it sounds like it's going to be a great thing at coming up in Oswego.
Yeah, if you can get happy, then I think you can kind of address a lot of different areas in your life. 312-981-7200. Your favorite Olympic moment. Your favorite Olympic moment. There's some being made all the time. Some being made tonight, right? Michael Phelps made he's making six of them in the course of the day. So if you want to add yours, 312-981-7200. A couple prizes that we've got, people can choose. One of which is a pair of the All You Can Pizza over at Eataly coming up on Friday and Saturday. That sounds really great. And then Village Passes for two to Soul Love Fest. You can get out there and you can experience everything that's going on those 2 days, and all free courtesy of those events, obviously those people and us here at WGN. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's going to be more. It's Dane in for Patty on 720 WGN. Best school treats. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in for Patty until 2 a.m. here, Allstate Showcase Studio. Brittany and Elliot going to get out there and enjoy some cool treats. I know we earlier today took the kids with the dog, took a walk, and saw one of the ice cream, an ice cream truck. And the kids still, even though they really haven't had that much interaction with the ice cream man, the ice cream truck, we all remember, I think it was the David Lee Roth or the Van Halen song, the ice cream man.
Right.
And I think that that was... I think that was maybe back when, you know, the ice cream man was in his heyday. But this was a revered, respected member of the community. And now the ice cream guys that I've seen over the last...
A little ragtag?
And not in like the Star Wars, you know, rebel underdogs, you know, that you're hoping can take down the empire kind of ragtag. This is, yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's a union for the ice cream guys. I don't know if there's even like a, you know, some kind of a ice cream man license that you need. It seems like all you need is an old...
an old truck that plays some music.
Yeah, like an old, yeah, I guess a step van or maybe, or whatever, like an old mail truck or something.
Sure.
That, and then you just cut a hole in it and slap some pictures of SpongeBob with a stick. And,
do you even need a truck now? Because there's guys on bikes. You get the ice cream bike guy?
I mean, that's when... Now, is the was the bike, you know, nice and outfitted with... It's got to have at least some
there's
bags.
A cooler. There's a cooler on the bike. And there's some ice cream in there.
Well, here's the thing. And I've always tried to break down some of these mysteries. You know, the mystery of the McDonald's. And a big fan of McDonald's and their success and all the employees and the fries and all that kind of stuff. But you know that McDonald's has got some kind of amnesia power, right? Where you have it, you overindulge, it's your fault, it's nobody else's fault but your own, but then you're like, geez, I should never
do that again.
I knew that was a bad idea, but you know what?
Right back.
Maybe like, not, I don't want to say right back, but you know, usually like a week or so or a month or something, you know, and there's that day that you drive back, because there's so many days you drive by and you're like, no way. And then there's that one day where you're going, you know, the Big Mac, they really had it going on.
That was about an hour ago for me, Dane.
12-beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, picking something for the ground. For the...
That was entertainment for the ride in, was a Big Mac while I was coming down here, because I hadn't eaten all since earlier this afternoon.
There's no judging, because I know that they have scientists feverishly working to make a lot of this stuff irresistible. And they've done it for a long time. So when you bring it forward to what isn't, you know, a giant multi-billion-dollar corporation, which is the ragtag bunch of ice cream guys, typically guys. I don't know if there's been any ladies. I haven't really looked. But it seems like, number one, you wouldn't necessarily want your kids running up and hanging out with them, number one. And then number two, I know they're in packages, but is the food safe?
I'm not sure about that. I haven't seen a traditional ice cream truck in a while. There is a Kona ice truck that's set up shop near where I live out in Aurora that's awfully tasty on a hot day, but that's a little bit different from your package. I mean, it's just ice with flavoring in it, so it's, you know, it's not so crazy like you want to get a bomb pop or something from the...
In the era of the food truck, you know, where people are doing elevated versions of so many things, you think if you really did, because I don't know anybody doing it, if you really did the ice cream man thing right... And just kind of used that, because you have the tradition, right? And there must be some kind of soundtrack that's only available with the secret ice cream man code, because there is something about it. It could be 2-3 streets over, that music is played, and even as an adult,
it's like pulling you out of whatever you're doing. You're in the house reading. Oh yeah, there's a truck.
Right, the kids can hear. I mean, it's subliminal, like dog frequency, and then and even though like my kids have, I think they've only gotten that I know of from the ice cream man. I don't know, two or three times, and usually with adult supervision. I mean, it hasn't been like a, you know, remember when we were kids, it would be.
You just run out there.
Yeah, the guy would be driving around a couple times a day, like maybe next time. He knew he was going to come around an hour later, right, all summer long, you know. So we'll get into that. Any thoughts on the ice cream man? 312-981-7200.
What's your favorite item out of the ice cream truck? That was a big snow cone guy.
Do you have a regular ice cream man? Is he like, you know, the butcher and the baker, you know, or some of the characters from the Brady Bunch, you know, where it was like, oh, hey, there's Larry. Give him a, you know, an envelope with some cash in the Christmas night. You know, you never know. It just seems as though that profession has maybe fallen on hard times. Right. So you can chime in a little bit on that, 312-981-7200. Any kind of updates on the ice cream man in your neighborhood? Is it a real thing? Is it still going on? But then also, some of the biggest moments in sports are happening right now at the Olympics in Rio. And of course, that's always the case, right, where some great moments that you'll remember for the rest of your lives. And so people, 312-981-7200, you can share your favorite Olympic moments of all time, even ones that are happening right now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to some of those texts and calls. Some the gymnasts winning gold medals, hearing the national anthem played, of course, the 84 Olympic hockey team winning the gold. That was one as well. So you can share yours here at the station as well. You can text it in or call it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's more. It's Dane in for Patty on 720 WGN. Incredible pressure in Rio. Yeah. 720 WGN, Daniel in for Patty until 2 a.m. Today. Yeah, coming up a little bit later on today. And today is a day, you know, one of those days every 4 years where amazing things are happening and Olympic memories that will last a lifetime are created. And 312-981-7200, people are calling in and texting in and sharing some of those. And I saw Michael Phelps swimming. And this is a guy who, some of the commentators had said that they don't believe a word of it, that this is his last Olympics, because I think he retired. Didn't he retire like two or three Olympics ago where he retired and then he just
came back?
He got bored, right? There's nothing else to do.
He was the Brett Favre retirement.
Without the tears, you know, right. There wasn't as – well, I don't know. He's always wet, so I can never tell if it's tears or just water from the pool. But I don't know how you can – it's one thing to retire when you know that, hey, you're like Peyton Manning. He retired. He actually played horribly. He's pretty much done. I don't think it just doesn't make any sense to play anymore. And you got to go out on top. That's really awesome. But Michael Phelps, he won his, it was the first one to win four gold medals in, I don't remember if it was the 100 meters or whatever that one event. And he swims in them all. But he had won it for the fourth time, the fourth gold medal. And he'd won by 2.5 seconds. He was
a full body length apart from the nearest competitor.
And it wasn't like one of those situations where there's, you know, a basketball game and there's that kid that's on the bench. He's the equipment guy or, you know, and they let him in and then they let him take a shot and win. It wasn't like, hey, this is his last Olympics.
Right.
Let's let him win. And he won by two. So I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. So he is making memories that I made my kids watch. This is the greatest, you know, Olympian of all time. And they're like, really? They don't care, but hopefully they'll remember it. Kathy's got one. She is on the line. Kathy, welcome to WGN.
Hi.
So, Kathy, when it comes to the Olympics, are you a regular, every 4 year communicant? You know, are you looking forward to
winter
it?
Winter and summer, I watch. Yeah, I really like it.
So, well, and the world likes it, you know, unless you're there, right, with the couch floating by. So, but Kathy, what, so from this year's Olympics or from whatever, so what other ones have you liked as far as some major memories that have stuck with you over the years? And what do you see in this year that makes a big impact on you?
The one that appealed to me the most was when the five U.S. gymnast girls won gold medals. And this will be the last year that they'll be able to have five girls, and next year it'll have to be, it's, they're cutting the teams down to four. So it was just the way they came together and hugged, you know, congratulated each other and stood by each other, and they just seemed so much more relaxed this year than last 4 years. They looked tremendous. They were tremendous.
You know, on the Olympic side for gymnasts, and you just kind of take some of these things for granted because the Olympics have been around a long time. The United States has been participating a long time, but really, and Dino, I think we were talking about it a couple times ago, that it was like Mary Lou Retton was the first American
Right. Like male or female to win a gold in gymnastics.
Yeah, so it's the kind of success that we really need to take notice of and appreciate, because it really hasn't happened that often for that long.
And it's just amazing what those girls can do with their bodies. It just amazes me. I'm in awe to watch them.
Okay, so for this year, you've got the girl gymnast. That's a great one. We're going to enter you in for the Soul Love Fest, and then also for the Italy pizza thing, so you can do the pizza, right? And then everything in moderation. Then you can go ahead and get out there and do some yoga.
We're going to work it right back off.
You nurture your soul, right, and your pizza taste. But then what else, if you had to think throughout the years in the past, all of your favorite, you know, Olympics, because you said you're glued to them winter and summer, what's your all-time favorite Olympic moment?
It's probably more the summer Olympics, and I like the volleyball, the sand volleyball. I'm not too crazy about water polo, but the gymnast girls and guys, the way they could contort their bodies and hold them up the strength in the arms of those men.
Yes.
To show the judges that they're not holding on by their wrists. It's just amazing.
It's amazing. And a lot of the stuff that they do at such a young age as well. Yeah. Yep. They'll never be in that good a shape. Well, they probably will. I'm just saying. But thanks, Kathy. I appreciate it. Thanks for being on the show, and stay tuned for the rest of the program.
Will do.
All right. So, you know, Dino, when you think back through, you know, all of the Olympics, you think of if you didn't necessarily experience it firsthand or be able to watch it or participate in it, like some of us didn't participate in all of the Olympics. but you think of some of those great moments. You've got your Bruce Jenner, you know,
in the decathlon. There's so many, there's 10 different events that you have to perform to be the champion. And, you know, that was, that stood out because at the time, you know, I was 12 years old, and that was really my first exposure to the Olympics on television, to watch him perform and win the gold medal. That was a great accomplishment then. But I still think, as a lot of other people probably said, that the 1980 Olympic hockey team was that was the one that stood out to me the most, because they were such underdogs and nobody thought they had a chance.
And it was back in a time where, and I don't know, maybe it is for other countries, you know, with rivalries, right? In sports, it's not really a rivalry. I don't think the Cubs Cardinals was a real rivalry until a couple of years ago. No, it was like for us, for Cub fans, but the Cardinals were just like, yeah, whatever.
We'll see you at some point.
Just another team that gets beat. But, you know, the Olympics was in a time where, you know, nuclear weapons exist, and we know that, you know, you can't get in there and do everything that you know, as a political situation that you might want to do or whatever, like economically. So oftentimes that battlefield was the Olympics. And for the 1980 Olympics, you know, when you had the Soviet Union, you had communist Russia, and they were using that hockey team as a great example of of our government, our lifestyle, our vision and philosophy is superior, right? Look how great our hockey team is.
Right.
And so, yeah, right. It was more than just, you know, crazy kids going out there and realizing a dream. It was like a whole world statement, right?
Yeah. Well, at that point in time, it sure was, because there was a lot of bad blood between the two countries. And, you know, that's one of those things, like you said, that's, you know, our team's better than yours. Our country's better than yours. You know, we had, and at the time, you know, that team, a bunch of college guys that no one had ever heard of, you know, for them to go the distance and win the gold medal, you know, beating a team that was, you know, basically professionals, had been playing for, you know, years together, you know, that's why, you know, to me, that's the one that stands out the most.
Yep. And here's the thing. Hockey is very popular here. We see, you know, the success of the Blackhawks, and hockey's a big sport in Canada and the United States, and it's a major sport. You know, so people like hockey. But the power of the Olympics is the power to have to draw the attention, and everybody kind of rooting for, cheering, and really being emotionally invested in some of these participants in sports, that when the smoke clears and this thing is over and they stop trying to worry about the couches floating by, that they won't. I'm not going to watch any. The next time I watch a swim meet is when, if I've got like a niece or nephew or something that happens to be doing it, and I'm kind of roped into, hey, you should be there. That's like, I'm not going to watch the swimming channel. I don't know how much of that happens if people get into a sport, whether it's gymnastics. Now, the gymnastics is one of the most exciting parts of the Olympics on the summer side. And it is amazing, just like Kathy had said, where it's amazing to see what it is that they can do and how they do it in all those events. But it doesn't make me a fan of gymnastics. You're just kind of a fan of I think, what it means, right? Because this is your home team. It's your home country. And you realize what's at stake for these people. You become kind of emotionally supportive of them working for years to realize their dream. So you really feel it. It isn't just like another another Cub game or something.
Because it's only once every 4 years, and for these girls and the guys that are in the gymnastics, they've been doing this, you know, since they were able to do a somersault when they were, you know, 2 years old. I mean, it's a life, you know, it's like, you know, pretty much what they've done for their entire childhood up to through into an adulthood. And it's pretty amazing to see that. But you're right, you know, once every 4 years, I wouldn't, maybe a qualifying event if I was flipping the channels and I'm watching, like, if somebody was in it that I knew, I might watch it for 5 minutes, but then I would turn it off because, like you said, the Olympics are what it's all about, and that's really the stage that you're going to see these guys on.
Well, and she had mentioned, too, that she isn't as into water polo. Well, no one is. No one at all, except for people that are participating.
It's not just the water polo people.
It's their family. You're like, clubs and water polo. Okay, I got to I'm not against water polo. Right? Or am I? Should I be? I don't know. Craig, now do you find yourself, you watch some of these things and, you know, we hear it, it comes through. These are big, you know, there's going to be medalists, you know, someone's going to win a bronze medal from Downers Grove in something, right? Javelin.
Oh, I hope so.
Right. They're going to come back.
Get that bronze.
They're going to come back and we're going to care. Yeah. But do you find yourself when the Olympics are over saying, you know, do you have withdrawal for water polo or gymnastics?
I'm looking for that channel, but they don't have it yet.
I certainly do not go through Olympic withdrawal. I do watch a lot of Olympics because it's kind of on all day. And there's something nice about being able to get up and see it anytime. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then some of the people that don't think they're going to win and win something, the joy is really fun to see. When someone sort of surprise wins something, to me, that's the best part of the Olympics.
There should be a channel for that.
There really should be.
Surprise win channel.
Just replay the one guy who beat someone.
That's why this is a think tank. Because, you know, just like that NFL Red Zone channel that just shows the winning plays.
That's right. It's just the touchdowns. That's it. Scoring plays.
All I want to see is the medals, and maybe there's an underdog.
Well, and if we're really going deep with all this, one thing that I like, and this is a little bit darker, is watching some of the people lose. And I know that sounds mean, but, like, they train for it so hard. And you just see their face when they finally...
Not going to happen.
Yeah, they came in like fourth.
Brad.
Just no medal, nothing.
Well, you mentioned, and I'll raise your dark with darker, is that there's a horrific Olympic injury channel where you see the...
Oh, God. Here's the athlete who broke his leg on the... On the vault.
I don't know. This one happened today. So we've seen the one where the pommel horse, which that's a Olympic lingo for the pommel horse, so leapt over and then broke his leg on the landing, right? We saw that. Well, I guess today an Eastern European weightlifter was lifting 400 some odd pounds.
Arm went.
And his elbow dislocated while he was... Yeah.
Oh, God.
I know.
That's a YouTube special waiting to be played over and over and over again.
By the way, this conversation just reminded me of my favorite Olympic moment, which is almost all of the things. Carrie Strug, when she hurt herself.
And Bella.
Yeah. She, like, flipped and broke her leg and then stood up one-legged, and we were all supposed to be happy about that.
Did that really happen? Oh, that did. Because I was thinking that kind of morphed in my mind into an episode of Karate Kid, you know, one of the, you know, where...
when he slaps the hands together and starts... rubs him and then, right. Can you fix me?
Oh, great.
The cobra, like the sweep the leg. He could only hop on one leg. I think that's where they got it, right? Then the Carrie Strug just copied
Bella Caroli carrying her off the mat.
I think the Franklin Mint made a commemorative plate for that, right? Where there's like a watercolor of that, of him carrying her off, kind of Tiny Tim style.
Oh, God.
Right? It was just like that. You know what? You know, and he carried her around for weeks afterwards in parades. They showed up in the Tonight Show. He's there. He carries her out.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah.
Well, see, the Olympics are bigger than just one thing. And if you win, you know, an Olympic gold medal, you've got immortality. We're going to talk about some of those moments coming up. A little bit later on the program as well after the break, including some of these amazing inventions. I don't know if there's an Olympic tie, and we'll find it. Well, it's going to be Dane in for Patty on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in All-State Showcase Studio for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. today and talking. And it's an eclectic group of topics. We've covered everything from, you know, we've got pizza, we've got yoga, we've got the demise of the modern day ice cream man. And of course, you know, what's happening where the attention of the entire world is kind of converging on Rio as the Olympics are happening. And sometimes there's some great moments. Oftentimes there is, you know, sometimes some tragic moments. We brought up either the soul crushing disappointment that Craig is so interested in and is looking for a channel, or he's like, or at least a blog, right? Or a website, someplace where I can
one stop shopping. So I can see
aggregate all
of
these people. And I say, you know what? I'm so glad I never got good at any of those sports because I don't know if I can handle it.
Right.
Right. And, you know, then, of course, the injuries. But then sometimes there are moments that are great Olympic moments that are going to be on the news. And there's some where you get to see. And I think this is where we really this is one of the reasons that we really enjoy the Olympics. And I think that we really kind of value what it means is because everybody values it. It isn't something that maybe one group or one country says this is important or this is cool. Like the Olympics, the whole world kind of agrees this is a really big deal. You know, if you can get in there and win something. And sometimes the people involved, it's a life changer. Like to see someone's life change before your very eyes and see them kind of transform into what will then be either a household name or the cover of a Wheaties box from complete anonymity is right. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. You know, becoming a superstar right in front of your own eyes, that's pretty cool.
We all remember the Ricky Martin appearance on the Grammys. I'm just kidding. But Simone Emanuel, this is a girl who was a swimmer, and no African American had won, I think, a swimming medal in any Olympics ever. She was not a favored person in this one. There was a couple sisters, I think, from Australia that were favored to win, and they said, oh, they'll be one in two. And she ended up winning the Olympics. I mean, not the Olympics. She won a gold medal. In that, she actually tied with like a Canadian. It was pretty amazing. I don't want to get off track with the tying, but was able to win a gold medal, and it was not expected. It's one thing if you're Michael Phelps and you're almost disappointed when you don't,
right.
But to be able to get in there, you know, and against so many different odds with other great swimmers in there and be able to win, I think it was the 100-meter freestyle, and win that gold medal in swimming and then be the only, you know, the first person that you can represent and be kind of that example, that role model of hey, like this stuff is happening.
Right. Anybody's got an opportunity to do the same thing that I did.
You know, and athletes are great at, you know, what it is they do in whatever kind of physical discipline, you know, on the playing field or whatever. But, you know, they're not always kind of in that moment mentally kind of taking in that whole big picture. Like, hey, this was great. It was for the team, 110%, you know, or whatever kind of thing just bit out. But she, even though that was completely it was an unexpected thing for her. We just got a text in. She was the sixth seed in the world. You know, this is for number one. She wasn't expected to get that. You know, hopefully she was, I think, hoping for maybe a medal, but to get the gold medal and to do that. And she right away, as soon as they got it. So what are your thoughts? And, you know, and she realized kind of what
it all
meant.
It all came crashing down at that point. She realized then what had happened.
Well, for swimming, I had to explain this to the kids. You know, it isn't as though you're running in a race and you realize everyone's behind you and you're breaking the tape and you know you won. You don't have, I don't think you have, I mean, I think you have a basic idea maybe, but, you know, they're swimming with their face down and because they always get up and then they look back to see.
Yeah.
Did I win?
Did I set a record?
Am I in last place or whatever? And then she looked, she realized that not only did she set, you know, and then also tied with the other person, but set an Olympic record. But also won the gold medal. And just the emotions that came over was like, oh, whoa, like this happened. And then to be able to share some of those thoughts on kind of what it means just in the general kind of landscape of like the public consciousness and certainly here in America wasn't lost on her. So it was exciting stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's something when, you know, when she's able to, you know, it's a name now you'll never forget, Simone Emanuel winning the 100-meter freestyle in the Olympics. Awesome.
Now, can you remember, are there any other times where you've seen an Olympic moment, you know, that happened where that person then became kind of just like a public figure, like immediately? You think of your Peggy Flemings, of course, right? Or the Dorothy Hamill with the short hair, you know. The
right,
short
and again, I go back to, you know, Bruce Jenner. I had no idea who he was.
Neither all does of a sudden he.
I'm
kidding.
Easy
does,
now.
He knows.
No, but I mean, that was one example. But, yeah, there's just, you know, there are a lot of them that that come up that you haven't heard of, and you know, out of nowhere. And that's exactly what happened today.
And that's the kind of their whole deal. And you know what? And so now from this moment forward, and she's a relatively young person, every time that she's ever introduced in anything, if she's speaking to a class of fourth graders 30 years from now,
sure,
she'll be, you know, an Olympic champion, and she'll have kind of that role in that place in history. Craig, have you ever, is there any kind of Olympic transformation that you can remember?
Or that I can't, because those people, so like you said, they come up and then they're gone, and you sort of forget.
Yeah, because in a lot of the sports, I mean, they, you know, as we were saying before, there's not a forum after that for them to continue
right.
being visible and being out there. And, you know, something like gymnastics or in swimming, you know, a guy like Michael Phelps, you're going to know because he's won so many medals.
Just beating us over the head with victory.
I know. I saw an article on like Wired about how it's really hard for Olympians to make money. No, even if you win, there's no real path to being famous outside of your 10. It's almost like a viral celebrity. You get 10 to 15 minutes, and then you won an Olympic medal for our country. Great, but we kind of forget about it.
It's interesting that you bring that up, Craig, because Maxwell asked, like, hey, is it really made of gold? You know, why don't they just sell it? You know, because he just doesn't think, like, well, it's an important accomplishment. You're going to want to save it. Put it in the den over the fireplace or something. And I said, you know what? There's gold in there. So we did a little, because the internet knows everything. And so I think they're about $500 what a gold medal is worth. There is some gold in it, but it's kind of like that's the medal. This is worth much more for what it represents, of course. And then in the United States, like the athletes that win a gold medal get $25,000. Did you know that? Did they get $25,000?
Yes.
You did know that.
Okay. I didn't know that.
In Italy, and of course it's much, you know, less frequent, it's $180,000 they get. I don't know what the exchange rate and the euro, so don't ask. But either way, I didn't know that the countries compensated them, you know.
I got to give them a little something, you know, for the effort. I mean, it's a lot of years to put into, you know, not get anything out of it except I got my shiny little medal.
Well, and 25 grand does not sound like enough for the effort.
Not really,
to put into
but
that.
It's something that's more than what they used to get, which was zero.
And that's only for, did you say gold medal or any
yeah.
medal?
Yeah, okay. It's like 15 for, I mean, if there's a breakdown, it's like 15 for a silver.
If you come in sixth, you get like 30 cents.
I imagine Happy Gilmore is like, if you're last, it's $24. Oh, so I still get paid, right?
I just want the big check.
Yeah, so I'm sure, but you know, you're right, Craig. They're not doing it for the money. They're doing it for, you know, to support their country.
I like that you gave me credit. I didn't say that. Well, but I like that. Yep, they're not.
You always got to include everyone, Craig. That's how it works.
Because you wonder, it does cost a lot of money for training. You wonder, like, how soon, you know, some of the athletes that are maybe like just really good at something, but like, hey, they're really in it for the money that they're waiting. Like, hey, wait a minute. Like, where's my check?
I mean, if you're going to be an amazing athlete, there's a lot of sports where you can make money. I don't know why you'd pick water polo, why you'd pick some of these things that you just have no shot. There's sports where they have professionals and you at least can get paid consistently.
See, this is where these can be examples of parental conversations that we can all have in the future. Is like, look, son, I get it. Lacrosse.
It's
you're
really
good.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, but there's just no future in that. Like, here's the number one, what can get you a scholarship? Lacrosse can help with that, but then how are you going to support us in our old age?
You
know,
you get in at professionals in the lacrosse league.
Then I'm like, next slide. Here are the salaries of the different sports. And you don't want to get hurt, right? So I've already got it figured out. Craig and Dino, it's golf. He's got to play golf. He can play golf a long time, right?
Sure.
And you get paid a good amount.
And
baseball's
there's a senior
pretty good.
Tour. So you even after you hit 50, you could be a star all over again.
That's right. I got to get that video. Like, your kid can be a star by Lee Trevino. You know, he's like doing the senior tour. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the just amazing inventions that are out there. And I know that people are thinking, where's a monkey story? If there's any kind of a, I talked about it a little bit earlier. The monkey is always thought of as just a fun character, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
But they're very strong and they're mean. They smell and you don't want them on a plane.
Wow. That turned that around quickly right there.
Well, it takes a village of topics. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Daniel in for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. tonight here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Because the music selections have been so great by Craig, but there's a little bit of mystery in the beginning. I wasn't really sure what it was. And then when I realized it really was R-O-C-K in the USA,
I thought it brought a close to our last conversation.
It brought Craig's rock and roll sensibilities, his lifestyle, right? But then also the patriotic angle that
flag waving
that
right
I think
there.
is appropriate for today.
It's an underutilized bump song in general, I think, on this station. So
is there like a list for that? Because
yeah,
you printed out top 10 underused bump song.
I like to use that when I'm doing the PA announcing for high school basketball too. So yeah, you got to blend that stuff in now and then.
Was that is that a John Cougar Mellencamp song?
It sure is.
Okay, that's a good one. All right, well, this focus on bumpers.
That's right.
Okay. I think it's important to stay together. I think it's important to kind of like have different, you know, ways in this world with so many things pulling us all in different directions to kind of be at one with your significant other or your partner or whoever it is, right? It could be just someone that you care about. And so technology has kind of meshed with love and also jewelry, right? Because not all wearable technology is, you know, looks good.
True.
Right. It's like, hey, you've got these Google goggles.
What the heck are you wearing?
And you're wearing a telephone on your shirt. Okay, got it. But this is a ring. These actually look pretty good. I'm not sure how thick they are because you know, it's a piece of paper. But a ring that lets you feel your partner's heartbeat is trolling at level 10. Now, this is, I guess, Craig, if you can get on. So this is a ring, right? Or it's a pair of rings, really, right?
Correct. It is a pair of rings. They cost several thousand dollars. My computer went down. Otherwise, I'd also be looking at the article. So it's a pretty expensive ring, and you put it on, and then it somehow can tell the heartbeat of your significant other, so you feel it on your finger all the time.
See?
Yeah.
So you each are wearing rings, and then each one of you, wherever you go, can feel the real-time heartbeat of that other person, right? It sounds creepy a little bit, right?
It is creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all of a sudden the heartbeat starts picking up. Well, what are you doing?
Wait,
are you working out?
You wonder if they're in danger.
Are you with someone else? What's going on?
If they're
on?
Reading the latest novel with Fabio on the cover.
Seeing 50 Shades of Grey for the 10th time?
Honey, I'll see you later. I'm just going to get some groceries. His heartbeat is way too fast for those. What is going on?
He's never that excited about groceries.
He just grabbed two of his favorite frozen pizzas out of the dairy, out of the case at the store.
And then he comes back and you're like, oh, you've got suspicion. And he's like, well, there was a huge sale at Aldi's. And then you're like, oh, then you just high five and you do that. Well, yeah, there's some downsides, right? Because there could be the comforting. I think what they should do is they should just take a 10 second, like random sampling of the heartbeat and then just play that, you know, so that this is what their heart sounds like, because these situational heartbeats could be, I think it just raises, because then you're going to be like, well, geez, what happened?
What's going on?
And you got to think back, like, where was I at, you know, 2 p.m.? I mean, I don't remember, you know, or maybe I've just got a heart condition. I'm just in bad shape. What do you want? It's just upstairs, you know, or what it is. Or in the, here's the other application. It could be to bring people together. You know, for that whole thing, like what it's intended. But then you could, let's say you take out a large insurance policy on somebody, right? And then you're like, here, wear this. And then you're out with your or whoever it is.
Yeah, you're right. There's an age limit to buying this for someone. You could not get this if people are in that right range.
Right, because then you're like, hey, wait a minute. My ring stopped beating.
Beating. Does that mean my heart stopped beating?
And then it's like, and then it's back. Oh, never mind. I thought it was
in the clear.
I thought I was about to cash in on the insurance policy. No, but you could see people, you know, where the people don't even know. Like, here, wear this, you know, because I care about you, right? But you never know.
Just trying to get my arms around the whole concept.
No, it's really important to think about every aspect of it. And then if your significant other is around like a friend and it starts beating harder, that would be a really awkward situation. You know, like every time that you go around this other person.
Here's Jim. Hey, right? Well, why is her heart beating going up
beating
every time
so
she sees him?
Craig, it's not like a mood ring. It just says your heartbeat. Yeah. It doesn't say like.
It starts speaking. Like, she's probably cheating on you.
Becky seems aroused. No, yeah, it doesn't have any kind of. From what I understand, it just beats.
All right, then I'm canceling my order.
Canceling the order, but this is what makes you think. And I always, whenever I see crazy products like this, they don't happen, you know, just out of the blue. You know, it's not like, hey, some guy dreams it up and then like later that afternoon I have these prototypes. This is a lot of money and a lot of research. You have scientists you have to somehow talk into doing this. You know, come on, Dr. Van so-and-so, this is important. Or here's a suitcase filled with cash. So it costs a lot of money to get these. And you wonder, I think we just poked holes in it inside of a few seconds. Like the reasons why even the people who would want to be like, yeah, never
yeah,
mind.
I don't think so.
And then what if the battery
kids' college fund is safe?
I mean, the ring guy's on Shark Tank, and they're just like, this is terrible. Bad idea. How many have you sold? None.
None. What's the pricing on it? Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's just, now does it?
I'm out.
I know, Craig, you didn't get a chance. You can't see it
now,
right now.
No, I can't. I think it's like $2,500 or.
For the pair?
For just one. I think it's each.
$2,500.
For just one?
Oh, my
I thought
goodness.
The whole idea is it's a pair, but.
Yeah.
But
I don't
so
know.
It's five G's for two rooms.
Five G's for love. You can't put a price on that. You know that.
That'll get you a retainer with the attorney when it's all over with. But anyway,
does it have kind of a decorative charging station? You know, where, like on the nightstand, like you set it in there and it charges up. Because that's another thing. He's like, is she dead or is the battery? She's dead. Because you could be. Let's say you're apart, which people are a lot of times. You know, bad cell, whatever it is. You know, let's say you make decisions based on the activity or inactivity of the ring. You know, you're like, oh,
there's no beating.
Yeah, so. So-and-so must have passed away.
Yeah.
Yes, I can go to the movies after work. You know, maybe you're making decisions like that, right? No, maybe you're not.
Oh, wait, no, it started again. Never mind.
Oh,
I guess we're off. No.
Off the hook.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so here it's called... It's,
oh, now, who makes this thing? I mean, is it just one guy invented, or was it...
It's the Touch. It's the Touch HB ring and that uses an app, Bluetooth, on your phone's mobile... internet to help you feel more connected to your partner, or really, you could do it with anyone, right? You could, I mean,
right? It doesn't have to be with someone that you're involved with,
right? we've established that. Or yes, the way you guys are talking, you could just hand it to somebody
sure,
that you
anybody
do
off
like,
the street.
Hey, lady, put this on. I think we're.
Do you feel that connection?
I think we're compatible. Now give it back. It's very expensive. Okay, so there it is. It's that's what it is. I don't know. Craig, do you know the name of it? It's just called The Touch.
Yeah, it's created by the company called The Touch. It's called an HB ring.
Right.
So it's
HB
the heartbeat ring.
Heartbeat ring.
Well, it's time to save up for Christmas.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, you've got time. It's August. You've got a few more months to go. You can save it right up.
On the invention side, we try to keep people up to speed with the latest in things. You know, whenever. It's something not everybody. This isn't for everybody. This isn't for almost anybody, those rings.
Yeah, really.
But something I think we can all enjoy. Do you know, you remember that. I just think that culinary satisfaction of being able to enjoy a meal with substantial plastic flatware, right? And if it can be multifunctional, like let's say the spork.
Spork was a big, it's a big hit. Yeah.
It was like, wait a minute, I only need one.
I don't need a spoon and a fork. I can do it. Just one utensil will take care of it.
As a child, you break it out of its little plastic, you know, bag, and then you just marvel, right? It just like, geez, so simple.
Man, I can get my mashed potatoes out of that container so easily now.
And so elegant. Well, Craig, you found, I think, the next generation. If the spork has given birth to an even more advanced utensil.
Correct, and it's actually Panda Express has thrown all its weight behind it. This item is now at every Panda Express.
Pandas are never thin.
Right? No. It is the chork. Is that what they're calling it? The
chork?
No, chork. It is the chopstick fork or the chork. One side is a fork, and then it's got a little split, and the other side is a set of chopsticks.
All right.
Wow.
You can get this at Panda Express.
This is, and if you can.
That's groundbreaking right there.
Yes. And well, it's just the beginning, Dino, because you see them at Panda Express. I think they're probably free, or do you rent them, or you check them out?
You rent them.
You turn it in when you're done.
I have a lease with an option to buy.
I'm going to need that chork back, sir. Right. So you go there, you experience it in a Panda Express, and you just realize, and I think this is, it's one of those inventions, as simple as it is, obviously it's functional, you eat the food, but I think it's going to bring cultures together. I think I think it's going to foster some more exploratory eating, right? People are going to be deciding.
I'm going to take a chance, because if it doesn't work out, all I can do is turn it around and I can use the fork part.
That's exactly correct. I hate when I have to commit to chopsticks and I don't get another option.
I've never committed to those ever.
Yeah, you can't. You have to always go fork if they say chopsticks or now I get both.
And you know, and we'll all just have to, if you're at a restaurant and they don't have, if it's just chopsticks and they don't have a fork available,
I'm getting up and walking out.
I don't know what the international or the foreign term or whatever the language is, but you're just an incredible loser if you were like asking, like, hey, it's like, can I have a booster seat? You know, it's like, I need a fork. And then they look at you with kind of a disappointed look, like, oh, you're one of those people.
Yeah.
Right. And Yes, and we've got, you know, an Asian background in a good portion of our family, and so it's like, really? You know, you're like, yeah, not the greatest sport.
Boy, what a disappointment.
But I've had times where I've been, so it's not like riding a bike in any way, at least for me, is, you know, you do it, then you don't ever forget. I've had times where I can use the chopsticks pretty well, and then I've had times where I'm like, I forgot how to do this. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, it's so weird when they, it just, everything falls in place, and I can actually eat food for a few minutes with chopsticks. I feel amazing, but then actually within that moment, I usually lose how to do it. I only get it for like a few bites.
I'm with you. A couple will work, and then it's right. Like, come on, what? I can't pick one piece of this up right now.
Have you ever, right, it's, or then, you know, because you're trying to be normal and not, you know, and you can't be completely just fixated on not dropping the thing off of the, you can't just be staring and shaking and quivering as you're like, please get up to my mouth.
Sweating.
Yes, you know, so you want to have it.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, so this offers you the opportunity to say like, well, you know, hey, the fork's here. So
it's all,
it's very comforting.
It's all part of it.
I just don't.
The chork.
I just don't feel up to it today. I'm going with the fork.
Here's the way that you do it too, and you just bypass that whole restaurant thing because nobody. This isn't just something pedestrian
you
like
practice
like
at
a spoon
home.
No, you get those chork folks to make you your own monogrammed one that you carry around. Because you're a serious guy. When we had the blues musicians, and he had a whole suitcase filled with harmonicas. You know why? Because he's a pro. So if you show up with your own, like, you know, mother of pearl handled chork, then no one's going to question. It's like,
wow, this guy means business.
You've got to know the rules to know how to break the rules. You can say, sure, I can use chopsticks, obviously, but I got a chork here. I'm going to use my chork.
You amateurs can use your own stuff. I'm a pro here.
Great inventions are happening all the time, and we're happy to be able to share them. So now the chork is going to be out there. Excited to see it out on the street.
Oh, man, I cannot wait. I'm going to go to Panda Express as soon as I can now to check that out.
And it's going
to
be so easy a monkey could use it. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little monkey business and some monkeys that are out and about doing some amazing and newsworthy things. So stay tuned. It's Dane in for Patty here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Daniel in for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. today here in the Allstate Showcase studio in Chicago. One of the things that I always appreciate about where it is that we live, and people kind of bag on us for the weather, the winters, sure. You know.
Yeah, I've heard that quite a bit the last few years. It's, I've got to go somewhere warm. I can't stay here.
You can't stay. And I think that's part of the reason why, you know, we're not overrun with, you know, a ton of tourists. I think it just kind of thins the herd, right? It's just a survival of the fittest. And we understand that. We accept it. One of the things that I always appreciate about the Chicagoland area is that, you know, when other areas are going through either earthquakes or hurricanes or even just like animals, right? Poisonous, crazy, destructive and deadly animals. I mean, we're not going to find a scorpion. Watch, there'll be one at home, but
you might be lucky to have the whole band there.
What's your heartbeat ring saying now? I've been bit by a scorpion. No, we don't have that. You know, you're not going to like walk outside and be bit by a cobra. It's unlikely, right?
Right.
Or have a monkey or a tiger or something like that. Now, monkeys, and we've brought it up a couple times during the program. I love monkeys. Monkeys are just great. They're just, I mean, it's just in the conceptual sense. Right.
Right. From an entertainment standpoint, possibly?
Well, because I'm that guy that always feels, you know, if I'm watching Babe Winkleman in the fishing show, I feel bad, you know, that the
fish are going to go down. Yeah.
Jimmy Houston, he's catching fish. That's, you know, I feel bad, a little bad for the fish. So I always feel bad for when they build the monkeys, you know, into either riding the tricycle or even the dog, right? They're riding the dog right. Racing. The monkeys seem to have a good time with it, I guess. They're easygoing. As long as
it's like, I'm going to do what they tell me to do here. I don't have much of a choice right now.
I don't want to get whatever the punishment is, right? You know, as long as you can, you know, keep them fed and a good dose of John Mellencamp, I think they're probably all right, the monkeys. So, but monkeys in reality, if you had to have one, you know, people is like, I would like a monkey for a pet. I'm like, no, you would not. We've all heard, we saw the story about the chimpanzee that like ate the lady's face or took that's not good. I don't think in any way that's good. That's a bad thing. And even monkeys that are much smaller than like a big 200-pound monkey are still, they're incredibly strong for their size. They're smart enough to be like trouble. Like they'll change the channel on you. They'll run through your drawers. They could attack you. They're probably stronger than you. Even a tiny monkey that would, you know, be maybe the size of a large cat is probably four times stronger than a human. I'm just guessing.
Oh, you've given a lot of thought to this monkey thing, haven't you?
I'm just guessing here. And they smell, right? But that doesn't stop people from having monkeys as pets. And then sometimes when you got to bring your monkey someplace, you got to get on a plane.
Now I know where you're going with this. Okay.
Wow. Starts with, we have no hurricanes. Anyway, airline officials say that they called for help after a passenger was found stowing a monkey in his shirt during a Las Vegas-bound flight. And when Craig had brought this up earlier, I'm thinking, well, Vegas, that explains it, because not only, and you're thinking, what, there's just weird people, or there's a, you know, the someone's going to sell it on the black market in Vegas? No, I'm sure there's an animal act, right? Doesn't Carrot Top have monkeys in his act?
Probably.
And then we've got Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, with the tigers. And
well, but I think once you get, you know, really hurt by the tiger, I think you just go monkey, and then
you downshift.
Right. It's four times as strong as a lot of animals, so it's fine.
I think the tiger's
still danger.
Yes, no, you're right. Yeah. Well, so right, exactly, Craig. So you still have that. You're going to get those same kind of gasps and the oohs and the ahs from the audience, like, whoa.
The monkey just jumped through a hoop. Amazing.
Why is the monkey not killing him? You know, that's what we're. That's
you do the chair and the whip with the monkey. That sounds amazing. Oh,
while he's man. Like, while he's trying to pick the fleas off of his friend next to him.
Well, they took the elephants out of the circus. Why not have the monkeys get more involved? Why not?
Oh, I just think they're entertaining. That's it. So, here's the thing. So it's going to Vegas probably to experience and realize a career and a life of monkey style stardom. He's going to be doing that. Incident happened Tuesday, Columbus, Ohio to Las Vegas. The passenger broke policy by not informing the airline he was bringing a service animal on board and then refused to turn over the documents verifying the monkey's status.
Oh, there yeah. it is.
Well, because now here's the obvious one, that at least for us, is that we can see is that you've got, you know, if you have a seeing eye dog or a service dog that can help, usually it's like a Labrador or a German Shepherd or something.
Sure.
It's rarely a monkey, but I'm not.
Oh, but if I'm caught with a monkey in my shirt, it's definitely a service animal when someone asks me.
That's, no question.
Yeah.
What other reason would you have him on the plane for?
Right. And why was
legally anyway?
Well, here's the thing, right? And Craig, you're right, because that's what you said. You know, we always heard when we were kids, if anyone in your group ever got caught, you know, with marijuana, that you're supposed to say that it's by prescription, that you need it for
my glaucoma.
Right. So what Craig has suggested is, regardless of, let's say you've got, you know, a green mamba, you know, some kind of deadly poisonous snake, that it's prescribed for you and it is a service animal. So I'm thinking, what service would the monkey be doing other than just maybe a companion?
Maybe he's juggling. You know? Yeah, he does some tricks in the aisle, keeps the passengers entertained. Who knows?
Well, he refused to turn over the documents verifying the monkey's status. And again, this makes me think, like, what kind, because getting on a plane is tough these days. I mean, I can understand, you know, you've got to, there's a bunch of check things,
oh, right.
Homeland Security, and you've got to show your ID and your monkey's status has got to be shown.
You bulked up since the last flight, huh, Mr. Smith? It's just the monkey I'm bringing along.
You know, it's okay. So he's already at the airline and he's stowing it in his shirt. So it sounds like he's already past security. He's already like to the, you know, the airline specific part of the. So I
how
don't
does
know.
That, yeah, how does he? How does that get through?
I
there?
Mean, you don't get. I mean, last time I was on a plane was maybe, I don't know. Well,
I guess you don't get X-rayed unless they suspect you do, something. But
you get X. You put your hands up.
Yeah, but
if there's a monkey in there, they'll see it.
Wait, there's two arms and two more legs in there, and something's moving.
Or maybe it's one of those, if you just say, hey, it's my service monkey, you know, this is what, he helps me do stuff. He helps out.
He helps keep me in my seat while we're flying.
He provides. McCarran International Airport spokesperson Christine Cruz said law enforcement officials met up with the plane, so he was already on the plane, and determined that the monkey was, it was a certified
wow.
service animal.
Wow, I'm just seeing this now, too. I don't know how.
I thought it was, yeah, right? That just
every
just
part of that did not sound like this yeah. was how this was going to end.
Right.
It started out as a joke, and now it's for real.
And they were like, we're so sorry to inconvenience you, Mr. Monkey, right?
He'll go back inside the shirt. It's so, totally fine.
Does so the monkey have a name?
Don't ever do this again.
Does this monkey have a name or no?
Oh, he needs one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, met with a plane determined as a certified service animal. Oliver says, was that the name of the animal? Says the animal was brought surreptitiously onto the plane in a duffel bag and never got loose during the flight. It wasn't immediate clear whether the passenger faces consequence. So I think the first question is what would monkeys do service wise, and then what would be a good name for him? I'm not sure. What do you think?
I'm trying to think.
It's going to be service specific.
Yeah, what would you call him?
Well, these are the questions for Glenn. 312-981-7200. Glenn, welcome to WGN. Do you have a monkey?
Good morning. No, I don't have a monkey. I was just saying, you know, if he could have just said he had a drug problem, you know, and it was his monkey on his back.
Oh. I think there is points. They'll give you some latitude for being clever. They probably will. That's a good one.
Trying to get the monkey off my back. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, they're flying it. All right. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it. All right, so that's, well, there's another way that you can get around it. But this was a certified, guaranteed, bona fide service monkey. I think during the break we're going to try to figure out a little bit more on that, plus get a name for him.
Well, you have Curious George is already taken, so we can't use that one.
Yes, right. He's more like Hidden Hank or something. Oh, 312-981-7200. You can still add in your favorite Olympic moments. Those moments are happening on the monitors as we speak all over the place and tonight. And then enter to two season passes for Seoul Love Fest and then also Italy with the all-you-can-eat pizza event coming up as well. 312-981-7200. Quick break. We'll be back right after this. That's great. 720 WGN, Daniel in for Patty Vasquez until 2 a.m. You heard the monkey. That's a theme song, right? And it's true because I think they captured the essence of the monkey because the monkeys are never there to put anybody down.
No.
They're there to help people.
Absolutely.
They are. So we got a couple texts here, 312-981-7200, other monkey people that, because we come at this from sort of a, you know, a curious, like, geez, you know, let's kind of learn together,
sure,
kind of thing as far as the monkeys that are going on. Monkeys sort of almost breaking the law, being smuggled onto planes headed for Las Vegas, but then emerging and having a position as a respectable
legitimate service.
Super service monkey, right? And had been monkey profiled, right? As to like, hey, there's something wrong going on. This guy is doing some important work for the people. The monkey was. We still don't have the name for the monkey. I don't know if that's been kind of withheld or whatever, but also, so the 630 said, didn't you watch The Hangover? Monkeys bring you cocaine.
Yeah, Zach Galifianakis, he became pals with the monkey by the end of the movie.
Yes, and that's just one monkey, right? Just one guy out there doing things that maybe aren't as good as possible. A lot of monkeys doing things and helping people, and so the 319, thank you so much, sending it monkeyhelpers.org. And so this is kind of give us a little insight into the ways that monkeys, because when it first read it,
how they help out
service animal. I mean, I get it if it's a, you know, the dog can help lead you around. The monkey, you know, unless you kind of wear it like Baby Bjorn style, or maybe he's and he could say like pulls on your ear, go to the left, go to the right. I don't know how it would work.
So goes out and gets your newspaper in the morning.
Well, I mean, they could be helpful.
Sure.
Right? You know, so Craig pulled it up, monkeyhelpers.org, and you got a chance to meet the monkeys.
Yeah, I do. You can actually meet the monkeys on here. The monkeyhelpers.org is a nonprofit organization that helps adults with spinal cord injuries and other mobility impairments. Apparently just having a monkey around, not only to get stuff, but to just be active and around makes you happier. But if you click on Meet Our Monkeys, which is at the top of this website, you get to then digitally meet a few of the monkey helpers.
It's like there's a monkey named Jerry. He's like
Heidi really loves her orange hamster. She's got an orange hamster toy. So that's Heidi.
Oh, it's a toy. Okay. Yeah, I was thinking it's a pet. It has a pet.
And then Lisa is apparently a big fan of walnut treats, just so I know that.
Good.
There are quite a few monkeys. Judge likes humming. He's just a hummer.
Anyone play any instruments?
I'm thinking that could get annoying. Judge, will you keep it down, please?
Gwen prefers bubble baths.
What?
Yeah.
She likes to, I mean, because they could help in this situation. So they give you bubble baths?
I think that's actually probably challenging to give a monkey a bubble bath.
They give you bubble baths.
They pour the bubbles into the bath. And
really?
I'm guessing.
I would assume that Gwen wants a bubble bath. Oh. That's how I'm taking it. And then Sadie enjoys toys with buttons.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And there are other monkeys.
She looks up saying, what? No buttons? Come on. So this falls along the same lines, and I think there's some precedence here where, you know, people bring puppies to either like the hospital, the old folks, you know, it helps your blood pressure or whatever.
Sure.
But puppies are just kind of, you know, they can't hurt you. And so I just think of puppies as, yes, a stress reducer. But I think I would, if I was there, especially if I had a spinal cord injury and I got this monkey running around, I think I'd be more stressed out. That's just me, maybe. What do you think, Dino?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm trying to see the correlation there with the spinal cord injury in the monkey, but maybe you got to see it in action to really appreciate it.
Well, I think we're getting too, like, you know, locked
too
in.
Too literal, maybe?
No, yeah. Just because that's what those particular monkeys, Sadie and Gwen.
Right.
And Larry.
The one you have to give a bubble bath to. That's what, I mean, that sounds really challenging if I'm injured.
They've specialized into just the spinal cord injury, and so that's kind of what they're doing. That's right. Their thing. But I think monkeys, you know, are real versatile. And when we first had monkey helpers, when it first came up, what I imagined was a pickup truck with kind of that honey-do list guy, you know, who's like, he shows up, odd jobs or whatever. You know, he shows up and, hey, the light doesn't turn on, it gets the bulb, you know, or you got to tighten the faucet, whatever. So I just imagined.
What do you think, him? He's got his own tool set to help out?
Well, no, Dino, I had not leapt forward thinking that the monkey was transporting himself.
Okay.
But he was maybe shotgun. And so they get up to the house and then, like, the guy takes the monkey in, and then the monkey, like, wants to play with the monkey for a while.
Yeah,
like,
just repair monkeys.
Like, rent a monkey. Yes.
Repair monkeys.
See, now that seems interesting. Well, monkey helpers, if you had, like, a van of monkeys, and then you pull up somewhere to help repair some things, and then all the monkeys flood out.
Craig, do you know how much that would cost, an entire van of monkeys?
I almost thought you said a barrel full of monkeys.
Oh, at least one. Well, that sounds great.
That could be. But when you think about it like that, in kind of a group help situation, and monkeys have been known, you know, they live in large families, large communities. I think that if you put them in a house and then you gave them kind of a list of things to do and they all kind of race off and do it, you get a lot of stuff done real quick. Is there any cost associated with the monkeys and the monkey helpers?
They seem to think that insurance or some other form of benefits would pay for this.
So like the hover round.
Yeah, exactly. Like the hover round. That is the assumption here. It doesn't really talk about costs.
There's an insurance plan that'll cover your monkey. Just call us.
Oh, and boy. Blue Cross Blue Shield will have it for you.
I like it. Oh, I like it. Okay. Well, the animals, you know, the monkeys, I think, are pretty advanced, and they're out there helping spinal cord injuries and fixing faucets and things like that. Now, cows, I think of this as a peaceful animal. And I know that they're big, you know, typically in their adult form. But cows just make me, they just kind of de-stress you. They kind of, you know, bring your blood pressure down. I always feel just, you know, because cows are just so peaceful. They're just kind of chewing.
Yeah, they're not really doing a whole lot.
Kind of standing. They're big, right? So if you want to bring them into the hospital room, just here's a cow.
You know. Here's Daisy. Look out.
But it looks as though, you know, California, they've probably the best intentions, right? They're trying to do all these different things, but it looks as though they're impacting the lives of one of our favorite animals.
Well, it's a daily dairy group's blasting methane reductions. It says cows expel gas so they don't explode. And that was the headline here.
Anything
in the story.
Anything you can do to avoid explosion, I think, is you do it.
Yeah, you know, California attempting to curb emissions of methane, facing vocal opposition from the dairy industry that fears government meddling in the flatulence of its cows. The California Air Resources Board set a goal of slashing methane emissions by 40% by 2030 and has targeted the belching and farting, known as enteric fermentation, of California's 5.5 million beef and dairy cows, as well as the manure they create. So they're going to try to get these cows on a different diet because apparently they're producing too much methane gas. I've never heard of that.
Well, who? And this is one of those, like, in what, like, you know, legislative session does someone decide, hey, I got an idea, you know, and then you're going to, like, the cows, because I'm sure they're eating. They're just eating, isn't grass, right? That's what they eat.
Well, right. And what they're saying here is improved manure management practices, new diets for cattle, and gut microbial interventions could help cut the amount of methane released into the atmosphere. State legislators are currently considering a bill to enforce those suggestions. So
this is a dangerous precedent to set, because once we start saying that cows fart too much, do we start going beyond that and say, you know, maybe there's certain people that you have to start changing the diets of?
Boy, Jim has really been gassy today.
I think there's some laws being broken. But then you joke around about it, like, oh, I think I should have gotten more than probation for that one, right? You just, you know, who knows? But here's, like, how would you go about doing it? It's one thing to decide, hey, I wish cows didn't, you know, fart or whatever, and I wish the environment was better. It's another thing to go out there and put those things in place. I don't know that you could get cows to eat other stuff. You know, I mean, wouldn't the cow be like, what if the cows don't like it? They spend millions of dollars to research, hey, this doesn't make you pass gas, and then the cows just aren't happy. They're not as healthy or whatever.
Yeah, that's the focus is to highlight the overregulation of the dairy industry by the ARB, according to Anja Radabau. By nature's design, cows pass lots of gas. Quite frankly, we want them to expel gas so they don't explode.
Yes, because there's...
You know, the last thing you want to see is a cow exploding because they got too much gas built up inside.
Well, I think we understand the alternatives, and the alternative is not just like a cork scenario. Like, just you don't plug them up because you don't want the explosion. But I think what's probably going to happen, and big thanks to the 773 who sent the picture of, I guess there's a cow window. It looks as though it's got kind of an actual built-in porthole, and it looks like a young boy is actually reaching in there to, I guess, handle the contents, and that's what they're doing. So, yeah, so they're working on it. This is all part of research. So I know you can't plug them up, right? That would not work. But I think it'll be some kind of device that you can buy or you're required to purchase, some kind of like filter diaper thing, right? It'll be like a reverse gas mask that will, you know, kind of be like a little, I don't know, apparatus that kind of attaches to the back of the cow, and then whatever comes out gets cleaned in some way.
Filtered.
Right?
You have a gasometer on each cow. Oh, look at this one. Boy, Bessie's really overloaded today. We better back her off that grass.
You do know you're talking about a real product, right? Not necessarily for cows, but there is a product out there that prevents the smell.
What?
For human. Yeah, it's called Shreddies. They're underwear.
I think I have heard of this, Greg.
Flatulence filtering underwear. They're called Shreddies.
Like a charcoal
for men and women.
Type thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
They actually have an ad where a woman is bending over, and we assume maybe. You know,
she just
and a man is putting his
methane.
Face right where it would smell,
and he's like, I
and
got
he's
nothing.
Like, this is great.
I can't smell a thing.
Shreddies, and you have people like, I can enjoy my bean burrito. I can eat whatever I want. I can. It's like, no, thanks, Shreddies. Oh, I could see it. That's crazy. Well, there you have it. That's all you need. You just get some underwear, some therapeutic underwear.
Yeah, I got some cows to put that on. Good luck.
Well, we've got Randy on the line. He's got a thought of something that he saw on television. Randy, welcome to WGN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I saw a thing where this farm had gathered up all the manure, put it in a tank, and then they drained off the concentrated methane and used that to power the farm.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah, if you look online, I'll bet you'll see it.
No, but how about that?
All right, thank you, Randy. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in.
You bet, you guys.
See, this is it. So you just go a step further. You just think it through. You take this negative, right? And you think of all the negatives that the negative is creating, and then even more negatives that the solution will create. You take that, you set it aside, and you just start thinking positive. That's what Randy did.
Channeling it into something positive. That's awesome.
312-981-7200. A little more on this. Your thoughts on cows, if you have any thoughts on monkey service animals or any of the things that are going on in the world of the animal kingdom, definitely give us a call, give us a text. We'll be back in a bit. It's staying in for Patty on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in for Patty Vasquez for another few minutes until 2. And we've covered so many different subjects. You know, you try to bring a little bit of inspiration, some information. You try to share some of the, you know, be that kind of fence post, right, that people are talking about in California. Of course, you know, there's a lot of cows in Illinois. There's cows in Wisconsin. California has a huge dairy situation, a lot of cows out there, and they're trying to regulate the methane out of the cows, and we're learning that some of this stuff is already happening. The 773 wants to know, are we talking about corn-fed cows, grass-fed cows, or hay-fed cows? You know, that I don't know. That's an excellent question.
Probably all of the above. They're probably just experimenting to see which doesn't produce as much methane.
Yeah, and we're trying to figure out, like, what to do with it. And Craig had brought up that Shreddies is already, like, the fine company, Shreddies, has already had some human applications.
Hopefully they have a black and white version just for the cows.
Well, but I think it does offer the ability to be like, hey, to either match the pattern of the cow, so it still just kind of looks...
Sure, it all looks like natural, then.
Discreet, I think. You wouldn't want to be the cow that's obviously wearing the Shreddies. Or I think you could just have some fun with it, right?
Right.
Now, Chuck is saying that there's a farm already doing this. Chuck, welcome to WGN.
Hi. Yeah, it's down on I-65, Twin Oaks Dairy. I think it's exit 210, and they produce enough methane to power their entire facility.
Holy cow. Just from the cows?
See. From the cows. As a matter of fact, they produce so, I think it's 1,500 head of cattle down there. They yeah. produce so much methane that they're, before you get into the dairy, there's a refueling station, and you've got trucks using the methane to fuel the trucks.
Are you
and they've been down there for, they've been down there for 4 or 5 years so
oh,
far.
Oh, boy, okay.
I mean, it's one thing to try to do things to help the environment and to try to, you know, if there's pollutions that are getting to the air and you can do something about it, you definitely do it. But so it's really that much? And my first thought was, come on, how much methane could it be? But I guess it's a lot, right?
Well, 1,500 cattle, they produce enough manure. And the manure, it does its thing. As a matter of fact, they've got an incomplete retail store down there, and great suggestion. If you like ice cream, it's better than Häagen-Dazs.
It's not manure-flavored ice cream, is it, Chuck? I mean, I understand there's a lid for every pot, but I'm not sure everybody would enjoy that.
Well, no, it's a separate operation, you know.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm so
sorry. Truck rolls in. All right, fill it up.
I'm sorry to blend that. All right, thanks, Chuck. I appreciate the insight. Thanks for being on the show.
Not a problem. Thank you.
All right, and then we've got Patrick. Patrick's saying, and this is where I thought, you know, sometimes in California they make a big deal about things.
And much to do about nothing?
Yeah, or? That it's not that big of a concern. So, Patrick, this isn't that big of a deal, you say?
Dane, I've talked to you before. You're doing an awesome job. I forget who you're replacing. You're doing that much. Nice, I'm sorry.
It's not
awesome, too.
Yeah, not replacing. Anyway. Yeah, okay.
Right, right. But anyways, are they kidding us? How about the methane that we permit, that we exhaust? They're going to seriously say, oh, the cows are the problem? Come on. How many people, everybody daily exhausts some methane itself? So if you're going to say cows are, it's like they're drawing your eye away from they're like magicians. They're saying, hey, look at this. This is a problem here. When actually there's 500 other problems that are causing issues with our ozone. I do HVAC, and I guarantee you there are so many guys out there that do not, again, you have no clue what I'm going to say here, but do not reclaim the refrigerant that they're supposed to reclaim because the refrigerant damages our ozone. We are upgrading our refrigerants. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but back in the day when you were, how old are you, Dane?
I'm like 45.
Okay, you're younger than me. Okay, so 20 years, when you were 20 years ago, when you were 20, I'm sorry, everybody had, it's called R22. That's a refrigerant that you use in your air conditioning. That refrigerant is bad for the ozone. It depletes the ozone. So think about it. 20 years ago, yeah. How many people did you know that had air conditioning in their house? Everybody, right?
Everybody.
Pretty much.
Yeah, everybody.
When you were 10, how many people did you know that had air conditioning in their house?
You know, I didn't.
Not too many.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
No, right, but Patrick, right. We've got to move on to the next thing. But you brought up some great points as far as, yeah. Here's the thing.
It is not, the cows are not the issue.
Right.
There are so many other things. And in Indonesia, I want to say, they beach old ships.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. But Patrick did bring up some great points in the way that think about all of the people, right? How much we're producing, much methane we're creating. And Craig brought up Shreddies. You know, we should all be wearing them, but not wearing them just to be, you know, to not be awkward in a social situation. But wearing them to, like, capture the methane to use to power our Earth, right?
Battery-powered Shreddies sound like the next. You can charge your cell phone. You know, it could be great.
If Ed, and thank you, Patrick, for the call. If Ed Begley Jr. knew about this, and if you could live off the grid just with, like, your, you know, the Shreddies and the power that it creates, you would do it.
Oh, fantastic.
I would do it in a minute. It says from the 807, hi guys, they have methane collectors at many landfill sites. They turn it into electricity and that they think this is an interesting show. That's great.
Yeah, there you go.
One of the interesting shows that's going on today and then throughout the course of the next couple weeks and amazing moments, entertainment, sure, on the athletic and sports side, but some memories that will last a lifetime are happening. And the guy that's going to be hosting the next show along with Esmeralda is up there in sports. Mark Carmen, Mark, so have you been watching? I mean, I know you're probably obligated to pay more attention than the rest of us, but are you entertained? Are you excited to watch the Olympics this year? There you go.
There I am. Okay, beautiful. You know, the Olympics, it's like you have to change your life, Dane. That's the moment. Because when are they happening? When is the big event? Like, there's a lot of effort that goes into it, but the whole Michael Phelps thing is just unbelievable. Guy's out of his mind. So, and that's an incredibly, you know, he won again today. Four straight years now, he's won the 200-meter individual medley, which is the first person to ever do that. And he's got one more event, the greatest Olympian of all time. And they're comparing him. You have to go back to...
To what? Mr. Olympia or some
he
kind
broke,
of...
He broke a record from BC.
Yeah,
someone... I'm being serious, actually. There was a record broken.
Yes, the victory, the 13th individual triumph of his Olympics career, meant he surpassed the greatest athlete of ancient Greece and indeed of the games, Leonidas of Rhodes. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Between 164 and 152 B.C.
Now, that's a household name right there, Mark.
I mean, I have no idea if I'm pronouncing it correctly or not.
And the competitors there, you know, they didn't pull from too far, right? It wasn't like they were flying him in. It was just like a handful of guys from, like, the town, right? You know,
I mean, the achievements of Leonidas, a runner who competed between 164 and 152 B.C., were recorded by Philostratus, the Athenian, and Pausanias.
The Athenian god of statistics.
I mean, are you kidding me? That's what this guy's doing. Well, so,
and it doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon. He's doing the whole Brett Favre kind of
two more to go.
Retire, I need to stop, or whatever. But in the race that I saw before I headed to the station, like, he beat all the other best swimmers by 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the cupping thing going on where he's got, you know, the red circles. I know you guys were talking about that the other night on Patty's show. And listen, he's was back in the pool 38 minutes later, swimming in the 100-meter butterfly semifinals. So he's going to compete in that, and then he's going to do the 4x100 medley relay, and that'll be it. I mean, the guy's 31. Who's to say he's not going to come back at 35?
He's still the best.
Until somebody knocks him off.
It's not like he's kind of like limping into the sunset here.
It's just, he's a phenomenon. You got to, I mean, that to me is, that's some big time Olympic story right there, Dane.
So, Mark, I know that you know, sports doesn't define you. So what are you guys going to be talking about on the show tonight?
That's all he's about.
I don't pay attention to anything else. Actually, we're starting the show off tonight on a little bit of a serious note. There was a story that came out of California for somebody who had a very interesting celebration around the end of her life.
Oh yeah.
So we're gonna start there and kind of have a little bit of a conversation on what's the perfect party of death. I think that's gonna be. I have a whole list of things here, Dane, of what I'm gonna have at my party. Hopefully that won't be for a while, but when I do get there, it's going to be amazing.
A party of death. It'll be another.
I know you better
presidential election.
You best be tuned in on your way home.
Absolutely.
There's nowhere else you can go at 2 a.m. for a party of death.